I don't know if anyone here has heard the concept of the three-story sharing. Three-story means that you have a story, and in your story is some of God. God is overlapped in your story. And you're sharing with someone, and they have their story. And if in their story they have an experience of God or they're seeking God, then when we share together, that overlap is God. So today, this morning, I'm going to do three stories, God's story, my story, and then at the end, I'm actually going to bring your story into what I'm sharing so that you hopefully will have some point of connection with my story, even though you're not a script writer, you're not male, you're not over 60. I should say almost 60. That sounds better. I'm almost 60, 61. I'm going to read some scriptures for God's... You figured that out. That's good. I'm going to read a bit of God's story, begin with God's story by reading scripture. And these are short little pieces. Maybe one of them will strike a bell in your mind or your heart. So I'm just going to go through them. Exodus 31:6. I have called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with divine spirit, with ability, intelligence, and knowledge in every kind of artistry, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and carving wood, in every kind of craftsmanship. Moreover, I appointed with him Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and I've given skill to all the skillful, that they may make all that I have commanded you to make. Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. He was on a throne, high and lifted up, and the hem of his robe filled the temple, and seraphs were attendants above him, and each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two wings they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me. I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips. And I live amongst a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, holding a live coal which had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraphim touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall we send and whom will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." And God said, "Go and tell the people." 1 Kings 19:11. Isaiah had run in a classic case of missionary burnout. He'd run away and came to a cave and spent the night there. God said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, Lord, and they are seeking my life to take it away." God said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind came an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then came to him a still, small voice. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" 1 Corinthians the 22nd verse of chapter 9. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law. Although I'm not free from God's law, I'm under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. And to the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I become all things to all people, that by all means, I might save some. And finally, Matthew 13, 34. Jesus told the crowds all of these truths in parables. He did not say anything to the crowds without a story. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth to speak in stories, to proclaim what has been hidden from the founding of the world. I'm here really this morning to deliver a report as an arts missionary of Walmer Road Baptist Church. First, a little background, because I see like three faces here that were here when Brookstone began. And Keith Alamy, who is the chairman of our steering committee for the charity that I work for, the missions agency that Walmer supports, who supports me. Keitha is someone who can answer questions about Green Ink Project, the Imago Art Society. I'm accountable to Keitha in the steering committee, which has a bookkeeper and a treasurer and a chair. So feel free to ask Keitha if there's any questions you don't want to ask me. So let me give you a really quick background. After studying theater directing in London, England, I and my wife Linda moved to Toronto in 1986. On Christmas Eve, we attended Walmer. That's when we started attending. I started working at the Shaw Theater Festival, Partners Film Company, Independent Theater Projects. In 1988, I founded Brookstone Theater. I recruited a board, and our mission was to fuse imagination and faith through theater with a biblical worldview. Soon we were incorporated as a charitable organization. And then in 1989, I knelt at the front of the big sanctuary at Walmer, and Walmer Church formally commissioned me as an arts missionary. But let's stop and think about the word missionary. In Isaiah chapter 6 that I read, when Isaiah saw the Lord in the temple, he heard God say, "Whom shall we send? Who will go for us?" Isaiah, having been redeemed by the fire of the sacrifice of blood, was able to say, "Here am I, send me." And God said, "Go and tell the people." By the way, regarding Isaiah 6, I have been writing a musical called The Isaiah Project, and I'm writing lyrics for songs, and one of these is a song, and Janine Noyes, who many of you know, who's performed here, Janine Noyes is writing all the music for it. We've got 5 songs completed. I wish I could play this song this morning, but I don't have the quality of the recording is going to give you the opposite impression of how cool it is. It's all drums and Eastern voices. It's wonderful. So we're working on Isaiah as a project. So God said, go and tell the people. So a missionary is on a mission. A missionary, our mission, means to go somewhere with a clear goal. You're going with an objective. So think about missions. There's medical missions, diplomatic missions, fact-finding missions, rescue missions, military missions, secret missions, space missions, missions of mercy, foreign missions, and everyone can have a life mission. And every single mission of every kind either succeeds or fails as a mission. Sometimes the mission is aborted early on. Sometimes the mission takes much longer than expected. And sometimes the mission is designed as a long game. But sometimes the mission changes. I was sent by Walmer to radically reconnect faith and art. So where did I go? I didn't go to another country. I went to another planet. The professional theater world is different from the church world. Their language, customs, mores, mythology is different than the church. I had to speak a different language to be understood by secular artists and also by secular audiences. And yet we planted this professional theater for the general public in this church. We brought in a mainstream artist, mainstream media, mainstream audiences. So we introduced theater people to the church, and we introduced the church to the theater. And that was a challenging dynamic in both directions. At the height here, we had 72 Walmerites engaged as volunteers. In 1989, a group of Walmerites built these offices that are above your heads. I don't know if Keitha was, I don't think Keitha was here yet, but I know that Don Fitzgerald helped us build those offices. When we were cleaning out up there, we found a chair that needed upholstering, and Don said, "Don't throw that out, I'm upholstering it." It was covered with dust, so I said, "Don, who are you upholstering it for?" And he said, "I don't remember, throw it out." So Don and others helped us build these offices. Don built these risers that created the thrust of the stage. They used to be just 3 feet up here, and during the renovations in 2000-2002, we were able to get an upstage and curtains and a backstage. There were nights there was 220 people jammed in here. All acoustic music, not amplified. Everything was like you were inside the box of the guitar with the audience singing right to you. It's more like a campfire than a big imposing theater. So December 8th, 1989, we premiered in this space, then called Elmore's Hall, with the musical The Gift of the Magi. It was covered by CBC TV, CTV Global, and City TV, the Toronto Star, the Globe and Mail, the Sun, and many smaller papers. I was interviewed on CBC Morningside. Does anyone remember Peter Zosky? He was a very gracious man. And a Walmer member, Donna Abbey Coburn, who still works in music in this city, she was a co-star in that musical. Later, Brookstone hired other collaborators who were drawn to Walmer Church by the arts activity. Walmerites like Jane Miller, Peter Church, Brian Wigg, Richard Peters, Catherine Lang, who's now with the Stratford Festival. Other artists of faith who were drawn to this community were director Tom Carson, who runs Smile Theater that used to be upstairs. Shinrong Chung, who played Death in Every Man a la Mode, is now the artistic director of Yatong Christian Theater in Taiwan, which has an international ministry. Inserp Choi, the creator of Kim's Convenience on CBC TV. Anyone heard of Kim's Convenience? Anyone? Anyone? All right. Well, he did several shows with us here. And Jason Hildebrand tours nationally. And Deanne de Gruyter is a comedy regular at Stratford. And we were always interacting with non-Christian colleagues in the arts. We were not a closed circle. We were an open circle, as church should be an open circle. If you have seen Come From Away downtown at the Elgin Theater, it's still playing. The red-headed Texan airline pilot is played by E.J. Scott. And she did three plays in this space. So we were interacting with non-Christians, unchurched people, like Deborah Hay, who's starring again this season at the Shaw Festival. Kevin Dran played John the Baptist in Godspell Unplugged here. He's done about half a dozen movies with Russell Crowe and the X-Men movies, etc. So we were interacting with the world, and Christians were being attracted to us because we were engaged in the arts. However, at Brookstone's 10th anniversary in 1998, we decided to change the mission. We weren't just going to fuse imagination and faith and doing good plays as Christians. We were going to tell stories that explicitly helped people understand the kingdom of God. That is, it was God's presence in our world and God's presence in our lives. We said we would radically reconnect spiritual experience with the arts, which is what ancient Greek theater did, which is what medieval theater did, which is what African narrative dance does, which is what no theater does and kabuki theater does in the East. The gods come down on stage and mix it up with mortals. So we were going to go back to the roots. Radical means to connect with the root. Radical politics means going back to the root. So we're going back to the root of artistic experience, which was divine and spiritual experience. So the trouble is the scripts that are out there were pretty bad. Christian scripts. "Say, Becky, there's something different about you. You seem to be happy all the time, and I'm a miserable piece of crap. What is it?" "Well, Julene, I'll tell you, I found Jesus. He's a special friend, and there's no conflict, there's no arc, there's no action. It's just doctrine." So I began to write original scripts to radically reconnect art with spiritual experience. By 2000, our millennial season included 3 original scripts. First of the 3 plays in a millennial season that were original was The Big Picture. It's the story arc of the entire Bible, imaginatively told in under 2 hours. 2000 Candles is a postmodern Christmas show that deconstructs our cultural Christmas and returns to the original story. I created the concept, and with the cast, we collectively wrote it, and it has toured nationally 3 times. Shell Game, Jerusalem, 33 AD or 33 CE. The body of Christ is missing. Where is it? This was a historical whodunit that pitted Jewish, Roman, Greek, and pagan worldviews against each other. And then in 2012, 12 years later, after going on an arts mission to Israel, walking the dark and narrow streets of Old Jerusalem at night, I completely rewrote the play Shell Game, this play, and it won, what did it win? Oh, it won the National Word Award for Best Full-Length Script the next year. This is a Divine Comedy. It doubled the box office record here at the Walmer Center Theater. It had its U.S. premiere in California the following year, and that theater, Lamb's Players, later produced my play, The Glory Man, a cast of 18 professional actors. The Glory Man was about the genesis of Habitat for Humanity out of a group of Christians facing persecution. Later, that play, The Glory Man, became a screenplay, The Farmer, and that screenplay became a finalist for the International Kairos Prize in Screenwriting. First prize was $50,000. The finalists all received a certificate. In 2003, after generating all of these new scripts, Brookstone ran into financial problems. It took a year to pay off the debts and reboot. But by that time, I believed that my personal mission had changed and that I was to focus on script writing. I left Brookstone. I began with Imago Arts Society, a registered charity. The Green Ink Project could receive grants and donations from foundations, from organizations like Walmer, and individuals to foster my creative projects that did not have commercial appeal. So I have written many scripts where I was paid to write those scripts because they had commercial appeal. I didn't need support for that. I needed the charitable subsidy to write scripts that the world did not see as necessarily a money maker, because every single script I'm writing is about radically reconnecting, about stories that introduce people to the kingdom of God, help them understand the kingdom of God, God's work in the world, God's presence in the world, and God's presence in us. So everything I write is to that personal mission statement. And the Green Ink Project has fostered many scripts, which I'll talk about later. Brookstone Performing Arts ceased operations the following year, but I was kept busy writing and researching and occasionally teaching. I was producing. I was acting. I all stayed within my personal mission. Green Ink's project mission is described this way: to tell stories that help people understand the kingdom of God. And at that point, Walmer Church here redirected support for me from Brookstone, which was closing, towards Imago's Green Ink Project. 14 years ago this month, Walmerites, like Keith Alamy and like Don Fitzgerald, helped build a writing studio in Linda's in my backyard. Keitha, I remember, did insulation, and it was the mask that made it so hot. She had to wear a dust mask while she was doing that. She had massive gloves on. She looked like a real hazmat veteran. It was good and hot work, and I appreciate that. And we've replaced the shingles on that, but we're still using it. So in these 14 years of post-Brookstone mission, with the help of Walmer and foundations, with the help of mission organizations and many individuals supporting me, I've been able to write 26 plays. That's not what pleases me. All 26 have been produced. That makes me happy. And I'll even say proud. Bianca Andreescu, when she won the U.S. Open Tennis Championship yesterday, a Canadian, said, "I'm proud of the work I did." And I said, "A Canadian used the word proud about themselves. I guess it's okay." Some might say I am not a missionary because I live and work in Toronto. Well, my mission work has been performed in 15 countries around the world. My recent play, Solitary Refinement, about the persecuted church that we prayed for, the tour with David Ling and myself, the going to Newfoundland. It's been touring nationally for 2 years and so far has been performed in over 100 different communities. And I also not only wrote it, I perform in it. And as the Book of Prayer said, I'll be touring Newfoundland and with David Ling. We're going to BC in November, and then Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, BC again, and Ontario next spring. So some might say I am a missionary, if only because, like other missionaries, I labor in obscurity, because conversions are hard to come by, because I'm amongst hostile barbarians outside the church and a few inside the churches. But some say I am a missionary because I have a mission to tell stories about the kingdom of God, parables. And the mission finds success in the hearts and in the minds of individuals who hear and see the stories acted out. God acted out his story through Jesus. We are still enacting the gospel. Communion is acting out the gospel. Baptism is acting out the gospel. And so I know it finds success in hearts and minds because of those people who come up to me after seeing a play and say that they were moved. Now, being moved means more than being emotionally affected. Being moved means you saw things from one perspective, and now you see things from another perspective. You have been moved. The world is never the same because you see it differently. The theater is, when you see things differently, you've been changed. And so when people say, what is the goal for this play that's going to be performed? The goal is to change people's lives because they're going to see things differently, see themselves differently, be affirmed, be stimulated, be challenged. Again, that's just like a church service. If you're not affirmed and stimulated and challenged, you are not getting the truthful church experience that Christ envisioned and spoke about and that St. Paul talks about. We need all three of those things to be in true Christian community. Theater is like church in that it's relational and it's incarnational. And we strive in theater, like the church does, to make the invisible God visible. But in theater, well, and the spiritual is manifested, the spiritual is incarnated. But in theater, we also try to make the visible invisible. We can do it on a bare stage. Remove the material things that are not important in the first place and engage people's imagination. Because this material world is only a shadow of the spiritual world. A shout out to Plato. All this will pass away and what is left is what is eternal. What is left when all of this is gone? What is this when you have left your mortal body? What is left is love. The only thing we accrue for the next life is love. We don't bring our RRSPs with us. We don't bring our story. Well, we bring our story with us, the story of love. Nothing else can we achieve in this life but to become a servant of love because God is love. Do you want to be with God in love forever and ever? Or do you want to be God? There's a great dramatic dialogue. You'll find it in the first book of the Bible, Genesis. The very first thing the serpent says to the woman is, did God really say? Later the serpent says, you won't die from disobeying God. You will become like God. And that self-actualization, those two lies are as prevalent today as they were in the beginning. Bible stories have power and relevance and drama because Bible stories are still happening today. In our lives, we are facing a giant challenge like David faced Goliath. We are looking across the river to the promised land and wondering if we would dare trust God to cross the river. Some of you here this morning are facing a river, and you're trying to figure out if you've got the guts to cross that river, to take the plunge. We are living the Bible stories in our lives today, which is why when we go back to them, we can have a revelation about where we're at. If you are facing crossing a river in your life right now, find somebody to pray with. Pray through that situation. For God to give you direction and strength. In more recent years, Walmer has supported me and others through a special fund that's designated for missions because we were given trust funds or just call them funds, and that money is already designated towards missions. So myself and others have, like Madeline Folk, have benefited from that. This year, Green Ink Project of Imago Arts is applying our 2019 support, which we will get in part from Walmer, towards one single project, to putting 50 of my scripts, 50, online, to make those scripts available to theaters and churches and colleges and schools in the English-speaking world to tell stories to help people understand the kingdom of God. A second benefit is that there are modest licensing fees that will create a stream of revenue, maybe a trickle of revenue. But it will allow me, to some extent, more time to write scripts that do not have immediate commercial appeal. I'm doing something now that will generate funds that will help me to continue to write the things I feel called to write within my mission, rather than writing orange juice commercials and sitcoms. There is another benefit from it. The third benefit is that that stream of revenue could commission translations of the most popular scripts in Arabic, Hindi, Urdu, French, Spanish, and Mandarin, etc., etc. Because these scripts have been done in different places. The play Ever Youth, about youth issues, and an allegory of God sending Christ to intercede between death and ourselves. That's the story of every youth. It was translated into Spanish. It was translated into Portuguese. And it's been to 8 different countries. And it's the local youth that are doing it. And they use their own music. We don't ask them to do the music that I thought was pretty hipster back in the day. They get to tell it in their own language. And every Spanish country that does this says, oh, that's bad Spanish. We'll do it our way. And then the next country says, oh, the Bolivians don't know how to speak Spanish. This is how you should say this. And of course, language is always changing. So we give them empowerment and they take it and they do their thing with it. And I think that is a great benefit because to date, my scripts have been given over 9,000 performances in 7 languages in 15 countries around the world. Now I'm going to turn it over to you. A mission statement defines the action and the object of mission. So my question for you is, your story, what is your personal mission statement? Do you have one? I'm not asking you to come up with it on the spot. That will be very uncomfortable for many of you. But I want you to think about it today. I want you to write in one sentence what your personal mission statement is. It's not about how many widgets you aim to sell before you retire. It's about why are you here, where is God sending you, and to do what? What are you doing? To love God and enjoy Him forever? That's a mission statement. But I'm asking you to come up with a personal life mission statement. Take a pencil or notepad and write it out in one sentence. My life mission is to... And write that out. Then you can evaluate what you do and where you're going and plan and seeing what God... how God is meeting you. I'm here today to thank Walmer for partnering with me in my calling, which has been my privilege, which is to tell stories about the kingdom of God. And I hope that Green Ink Project and I can conclude this year with the launch of the International Online Script Store. All these scripts are about helping people understand the kingdom of God.